It's 9:30 and this is Centennial College Radio News. I'm Murray Crawford with Drew Berner and Laura Stanley. The heat wave is continuing today with highs touching 21, but right now it's a little cooler at just 14, but it'll warm up by this afternoon. Now here's what's happening today. A federal by-election brought a familiar face for Ontarians into power. Montreal Canadiens fans caused mayhem after a Game 7 victory. And have people forgotten about their manners? But now to our top story. The riding of Toronto Centre recently had a by-election, electing former Ontario Premier Bob Rae as their MP. Jeff Small reports.
The New Democratic Party came in a distant second in Monday's by-election, just 36 votes ahead of the Green Party. It was a disappointing night for Alfred Ukaki and for the party as a whole.
They're not the results I wanted, but it just tells me that I got to get out there, talk to more people, because what I heard at the door and what I heard on the streets was people are unhappy with our government. The people are unhappy with the way things are and they want to change. But I think that people are afraid, and they're afraid of what change means and how to go about effecting that change. So I'll continue to do what I've been doing for the last 19 years, and we'll continue the fight.
Practically winning by a landslide, Bob Rae seemed humble as he explained why the voters of Toronto Centre chose him over the NDP, Greens, and Conservatives.
Well, I think we offered a pretty positive vision, and I think our values have always been closer to people, so I think that's what brought it home in the end. I think that's what made a difference.
Bob Rae said he was looking forward to returning to the House of Commons next week, where he will join the Liberal benches in opposition to the Harper government. This is Jeff Small reporting for Centennial College Radio News.
In 2006, the Liberals were ousted by a report from Justice John Gomery, which said that they had inappropriately spent government funds on advertising in Quebec, aimed at raising awareness of the federal government's contributions to the province. This was called foul by Gomery. The federal Conservatives and a large part of the country brought the Liberals to their election loss in 2006. That election was won by the Conservatives, who ran on the principles of integrity and accountability. But now we learn that the means by which Harper's Conservatives gained power were no more accountable than the Liberals. After a raid of Conservative Party headquarters last week by the RCMP, questions were raised about the campaign spending of the Conservatives during the 2006 election. What we are being told is that the Conservatives used local ridings to finance and run national campaign ads, which allowed them to spend more money than the legal limit of $18.3 million. So the same Conservatives who trumpeted accountability are no worse than their predecessors. But this is nothing new from Harper's Conservatives, who have acted suspicious since being elected. How suspicious? Well, they've turned press conferences into prepared statements by having questions screened. The Accountability Act did very little to truly make the government accountable, mostly because the lobbying provisions and the appointments commissions have not yet been implemented. Can we really trust a government that acts like it has something to hide? So the question remains, what's next? If these allegations are true, it is entirely possible that an election is not too far off, and as history has told us about Canadians, they do not have a tolerance for fraud. But will the next government be as accountable? One can only hope. And here's Drew with his take on the riots in Montreal earlier this week. Drew?
Thanks, Murray. Montreal Canadiens fans certainly are an interesting bunch. It doesn't seem to take much to convince them to set a car on fire or smash a store window. By now, the images of Montreal police cruisers engulfed in flames have been transmitted all over the world on YouTube and various news websites. Seeing the drifting clouds of smoke and hearing the chanting fans, I couldn't help but recall images of political rallies gone bad. And all of this because their hockey team won? I imagine that if the Boston Bruins had eliminated the Canadiens in the seventh game of their series, there wouldn't have been much left of downtown Montreal at all. Montrealers have a long history of putting their displeasure into action. In 1849, they burned down Parliament because they felt the government was favoring Anglophones. In 1955, they rioted in the streets because their hero, Canadiens legend Maurice Richard, was suspended for attacking an opponent with his stick and punching a referee during a game. In 2003, Montreal punk fans flipped cars and smashed storefronts after the band The Exploited had to cancel a concert. Now that Montreal hockey fans have found a way to turn victory into an excuse for violence, it's about time the NHL stepped in. The Canadiens are headed for a second-round showdown with the Philadelphia Flyers, and if the league doesn't want to see this kind of hooliganism continue, it needs to threaten punishment at the very least. In Europe, when violence erupts around soccer matches, fans are occasionally banned entirely from games as punishment. In February 2007, all Italian league soccer games were called off after a police officer was killed with a homemade bomb. Does it need to get that bad in order for the NHL to take the issue seriously? Any fan arrested for assault or vandalism after a hockey game should be permanently banned from entering another NHL arena. A harsh penalty, but necessary if the league wants to prevent violence in the future. Temporary bans are effective at keeping troublemakers out of arenas, but only a permanent ban will make those troublemakers think twice about causing problems in the first place. Having seen how destructive hooliganism has been in Europe, the NHL shouldn't have to wait for things to get worse before trying to make them better. And now here's a word from our sponsors.
I had these sweats. I was nauseous. I thought it was some kind of flu bug or something I ate. I'm only 38. I play golf whenever I can. I cut down on smoking, and I'm not that much overweight. Anyway, the chest pain, it was like someone was standing on my chest. I could hardly catch my breath. So my neighbor says I'm calling an ambulance. Stupid me, I'm still going, nah, I'll be all right. It's just gas pains. Only now the pain starts spreading to my shoulder and neck, then my arm. So finally I say, okay, call the ambulance. I got to the hospital and they stopped the heart attack. I mean, as fast as it started with this new treatment that dissolves blood clots. Here's the real kicker. Their treatment is so new, it's not available everywhere. Guess it was my lucky day.
Welcome back, and good morning, everyone. I wanted to talk this morning a little bit about manners. When I was young and my mother would send me off to school or to a friend's house, I would always go through the same routine. I'd get a hug, I'd get a kiss, and the famous saying, don't forget to say please and thank you, or remember your manners. Well, Mom, thank you. I'd like to think I have manners. I say please when I want something or when I'm offered something, and I say no thank you when I don't want something or that someone has offered me. I'm very appreciative when people hold the door for me, and I hold the door for people all the time. I really feel that manners are starting to slowly fade away. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more there, Laura.
Well, I went shopping this past weekend, and as I entered the store, a woman in front of me opened the door and just walked right through, letting the door quickly close behind her just as I was about to walk through. You know, it would have taken her 2 seconds to reach back and hold the door for me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very conscious of it, and I feel guilty if I don't grab the door for someone or if I don't say please or thank you. I mean, how much energy does it take to say thank you when you're given a receipt or your waitress brings you your meal? I don't understand how so many people can be so rude. I'm also in the car a lot as I drive from Whitby every day. I commute. And it really bothers me when I leave space for someone who has signaled to pull in front of me and they don't even give you a little thank you wave. I mean, you're not going to drive off the road and into a ditch simply by taking your hand off the wheel to give someone a little wave. You'd think that manners like please and thank you would be second nature to people. They're great words and they need to be used more often. Trust me, you should all try it. You'd be surprised how much of a difference it makes on people's moods. So, like my mom always says, don't forget to say please and thank you. Thanks for listening. Now it's back to Murray for a final word.
Thanks, Laura. That's the news for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Centennial College Radio News, thanks for listening and good day.